Hello, everybody. Future Mike here, jumping in with just a quick message to open episode 127. First off, I want to thank Jeff and Daniel for doing a yeoman's job of making the podcast happen without me. If you follow Inroads on Twitter, you may have seen that my wife was dealing with some pretty dramatic stuff this week. While I'm not going to go into the details about that, I'll just let you know that it was really important that I take time to spend ministering to her this week instead of doing the podcast. The guys understood completely and made sure we didn't miss our episode deadline, even if they did it without me. Before I leave you in their capable hands, I just want to remind you that TavernCon 2016 is now only weeks away instead of months. We have a growing collection of prizes to give away this year. We have Jack Birkenstock and the folks from the Bodana Group as this year's featured guest. The Pretense Meta Tournament, which is a feature last year, is back again. And among the prizes is a pre-release copy of Super Pocket League Extreme Wrestling. Now, that game you can't get right now unless you were part of that Kickstarter. So we're really excited to give that to somebody, along with a handful of other games from Jason Tagmeyer and the folks at Button Shy Games. If you're going to be in the New Jersey area on June 18th and want to come to 10 hours of open gaming with food, prizes, and just a great time in support of Inroads Ministries and the work that we do, we'd absolutely love to see you there. More details can be found on the site for that. I'll be sure to come back next episode to tell you guys about some exciting local news here in New Jersey, but until then, Jeff and Daniel want to talk about some great games and a topic swirling around news coming out of Gen Con this year. So with that, this is Future Mike out. Enjoy the episode.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to Game Store Profits, the podcast where we get together and talk about games, and we talk about the Lord, and we talk about how that just goes together like peas and carrots. My name's Jeff Romo, and I'm here with...
Daniel Fisher, recording live from Snot City, USA.
Now, come on. Really? You're going to put that onto the podcast right as soon as Mike trusted us to do this podcast?
That's his first mistake, was trusting us to do the podcast without him.
Well, hey, man, so I guess maybe it might be kind of redundant to ask you how the heck you're doing.
Well, let's see here. I've had some good things happen this week, some bad things happen this week. My allergies have been killing me since last week, and I haven't been able to taste food in about a week because my allergies have been so bad.
Well, maybe it's the season, though. I mean, I'm seeing it a lot out there with some friends of mine. I'm luckily I've been spared so far.
My wife's like, well, why don't you eat some vegetables since you can't taste them? And I was like, well, I mean, I can still taste salt and sweet. It's just tasting the nuances of the food. So it takes a while for my taste buds to pick up on it.
So in other words, don't sneak any vegetables onto my plate.
I eat my vegetables. I enjoy my cooked vegetables.
Please. It's good for you, man.
My favorite is asparagus. I love asparagus. I grill it. I put I know this isn't a culinary show, guys, but I have to tell everybody how to do this. If you don't like vegetables, here's how you can cook asparagus and Brussels sprouts really well. On asparagus, I melt a little bit of coconut oil, and I use a little bit of garlic powder, onion powder, salt and pepper, and I cover all the asparagus with the coconut oil, and then put all the seasonings on top of it, and I grill it. And if I'm doing Brussels sprouts, instead of grilling it, I'll put it in the oven and bake it.
Nice.
Best way.
Now, I'll throw you a curve. I, too, will fancify my asparagus and my Brussels sprouts. For the asparagus, I don't know how the heck we got here, but we'll see what happens if this actually gets to the podcast. So what I'll do is I'll put it onto a tray with, like, a cookie sheet, but it has, like, one of those little grills that's on it. So that it raises them up off the cookie sheet. And I'll drizzle a little bit of butter on there. And then I'll let that cook. And then about halfway through the cooking, so like just a couple, 2 or 3 minutes, I'll pour some Parmesan cheese, fresh grated Parmesan cheese on there.
That's bam! Good.
Sap that thing. That's real good. And then for the Brussels sprouts, I will actually use a vinaigrette on there. I'll have some peppers, some vinaigrette, balsamic vinaigrette, I should say. It just sweetens that up, and then I'll put it onto a tray, and I'll like cook it at high heat so that it crisps up the lettuce, the leaves on the outside.
Yeah,
boom. Yeah, it's good.
Oh man, I might try that. Okay.
Yeah. I'll send you the recipe. I'll see if we can post it in the show notes. I don't know. We'll see just how much we can get past Mike today. So why don't we talk about games? Let's just jump right into it.
Okay.
Latest news is something I never really got into as a kid, but I'm seeing it creep up a little bit more these days, and that's the little red demons that come out of little plastic balls. What are they called?
Pokemons.
Pokemon, that's the one.
Well, yeah. I'm kind of into the Pokemon thing. I've always enjoyed it. My kids are now loving it too. So
cool.
It looks like we've got some a new expansion coming out for the card game called Steam Siege coming out. It was just announced, and pre-release is in July. So it looks pretty interesting from what I understand. It's I guess it's their newest and greatest thing. But I will tell you something. As a lot of people know, I play Ingress, which is a video game on your phone where you have to go to, it's like Capture the Flag, but you have to actually be at a site to capture it.
Oh, that's right. And your phone kind of picks up a geolocation that you bring down. Yeah.
Anyway, so they're making a game called Pokemon Go, and pretty much it's Pokemon, and you've got to, I know this is not about board games, guys, I'm sorry, but this is a game that I'm super stoked about, is you take your phone, go out into the real world, you look at your phone, it buzzes, and all of a sudden there's an Eevee standing in front of you, and you throw a Pokeball at it, and you capture the Eevee, and then you go to the training place, and you register your whatever Pokemon you caught that day at the training place, and you train it, and you do that by walking around. And it sees how much exercise you get, and it trains your Pokemon, and then you can get it out of the gym, and then you can find someone else that's playing this game, and have a Poke Battle in the middle of your downtown area. That is awesome.
So wait, how do you see what you're throwing things at? Is it like an augmented reality
on your phone? But the reason why I'm talking about it today is open beta sign up started this week.
Oh, so, that's right. It hit the States. So
yeah. So at the end of the month, it should. They said at the end of the month we should be live in beta in the United States, which means we are really the last country to go live before it goes out. And because we're so big.
I thought it was because we had slow bandwidth.
Well, that too. Plus, you know, we have such a diverse areas where we live in the world. And so, like, when you go over to a lake, you'll catch some water Pokemon. When you go into a forest or into grasslands, you'll catch the appropriate Pokemon. So
you could technically go out onto a trail.
Yeah.
You know, walking your dog, and then all of a sudden your phone buzzes, and you're like, yes. Oh. Something's here.
Oh, yeah. And they're making a little bracelet for you to wear to buzz. I'm kind of hoping it works with my smartwatch. And they make a little pin that you can wear on your shirt, too, that'll buzz and light up when there's a Pokemon nearby.
So, like, will it work with, like, Google, the virtual reality thing? Like, are you going to have a bunch of people running around with those virtual reality headsets on?
I would have them on. But no, but the company Niantic is the parent company used to be Google. Okay. So they broke away from Google and they're on their own now. But I'm excited about it. So it's
well, it sounds like fun. I mean, at least you get out. I mean, as much as we love our tabletop, we love our board games, it's kind of cool to have that alternative to get out. Still play games, but you're out and you're doing something.
Gotta exercise, people. Exercise is important.
And when you get to our age, kids, listen to your Uncle Jeff. This is true. You need to exercise. You gotta get out there.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, enough of that nonsense. Let's get back to regular games. I saw Harry Potter Hogwarts is they're sending out a new cooperative deck building game.
Harry Potter Hogwarts Battle.
So,
I mean,
you're telling me this is nothing new.
No. Wizards did the same thing in 2001. So, like, right before the first movie came out, they created a Harry Potter trading card game. And I actually played it because I used to love Wizards to death. I threw money at them all the time. And
I still throw money at you, Wizards. I still do.
Maybe you can throw us some free stuff, Wizards, if you're listening.
Wizards is awesome.
We'll let people know how awesome it is. So, yeah. But like they created this card game, and literally you would buy a box, and what came in it was pretty much two small decks and two sheets of paper that folded out, and that was your game mats. So in the starter kit, you essentially had enough cards for two people to play. And what you were doing is you were dueling. You had your spells and creatures. You thought it's pretty much it was magic.
Right.
It was magic with Harry Potter theme.
And judging by the time set here, like when it was released, I would assume that it was probably going in direct competition with Magic the Gathering.
Well, sounds I mean, okay. Yeah, and Wizards created it. So, it's not like they were, you know, they're losing any money on either or. I mean, if one was selling and then the other one wasn't, they were still making money. I mean, right. For a while there, it became the second best-selling toy in the United States.
And that's I bet nothing you, to sneeze at.
No. And if I dug around in my junk drawer, I probably could find cards for it.
Well, Wizards isn't going to hear that part because I'm going to edit out the part where you said they're in your junk drawer. Gosh dang it, you're going to blow all our chances for sponsorship.
Well, no, what happened was I bought that deck for my wife. And it's like, hey, let's play this card game. She's like, looked at it and played one hand of it, and she's like, I'm not going to play this again. So... Oh, I gotta show my wife some love. She listens. Oh, yeah. So,
hey, when the wives are awesome and they want to get involved with a hobby with us, it's a wonderful thing. I enjoy it. Well, you know, it's as much. I know we're not as loquacious as Mr. Perna when it comes to talking about games and having that huge background as far as the different types of things he can bring to the table, but I think you recently had an opportunity to bring some games to the table, and you went a different direction.
My daughter is in dance. She does ballet, and so she has a recital this weekend, so they had a dress rehearsal Wednesday night, and my two of my pastors at my church, their kids are at the same dance troupe. So I decided, hey, I'm going to bring some board games up there. Well, not really board games, card games mainly. I took Love Letters, Sushi Go, and my son's like, hey, Dad, can we bring Rory's Story Cubes? And I was like, sure.
Love those things. I love them.
You know, I'll tell you what, they make a good DM tool as well.
Oh, yeah. So that's exactly why I love
them. Yeah, it's the greatest thing ever. But, so, and guys, we'll explain that here in a minute, but let me finish my story. And I've got pictures, so if we want to post some pictures on this. So I was like, hey, I want to introduce you guys to some games while we're waiting for our daughters to go dance. So anyway, so I started pulling out games, and the first game I pulled out was Rory Story Cubes, which was the biggest mistake ever. So, like, I handed it out, and I said, okay, this is how you play this game. I said, there's really no winner to this game. You roll these dice, and you try your best to come up with a story based on the face of these dice. And my head pastor rolled them, and then and he looked down, and he put together a story, and his wife looked down, and he said, now you roll, and you come up with the story. And she couldn't come up with a really good story, and he kind of rubbed it in her face. Then all of a sudden, I hear him yelling, hey, David, who is our youth pastor, and he motioned him to come over, and then he says, look at this, and shows him the game. And David's like, where can I buy that at tonight? I was like, well, you can get it at Walmart or Target. And you're like, well, we're going to go buy this tonight. And then I was like, well, let's look at this one game here, Sushi Go. And they're like, no.
Nice.
It's like, what about Love Letters, Hobbit Edition? They're like, no. And they played with the Story Keeps for a little bit longer. But, yeah, and then I handed, and this is something, I don't know a lot of gamers that will do this because our games are precious to us, but I loan games out.
Yeah.
And because I currently have, and I know who has them, you know, I watch them like a hawk. But the thing is, though, I want to give them quick and easy games to learn, and so that they can, oh, man, this game is fun. And then it opens up a whole new world of possibilities. It's like crack, man.
So you're basically peddling games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you have any, like, prerequisite phrases that you provide these said borrowers when they walk off with one of your boxes?
Like, you know, if you don't bring it back in the same condition I gave it to you in, I'm going to hang you up by your toenails. But usually not. If something is damaged, but I found out that they played it, it doesn't really bother me.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, if I lose a token, I have a 3D printer for a reason. You know, if I lose a card, oh well, I'll get another card printed out or order a new stack of cards for whatever. So, I mean, and if you think about it, I mean, yeah, we spend $50 to $60 in some of our games. But, I mean, if you're not playing it and you can provide that to someone and you know that they're going to enjoy it and have a good time with it, then why would you keep it hoarded up in your house?
Right.
So.
Now, you know, and that's the thing, too, is that what's your goal with having these games, right? They're to be played with, you know. It's really cool to kind of see a stack of them there, and you know what's involved with the games, and you're like, oh, those have the best game pieces ever, that sort of thing. But it's all the difference in the world to be able to play those games with somebody. But it's even more of a difference if you can teach them how to fish versus giving them a fish.
Oh yeah. And well, I mean, that's fun too, but sometimes they just don't have the time for it.
Yeah.
So
no, it happens that way, but definitely want to focus more on the idea that you're going to get them coming back than worrying about something's going to happen with the game.
Now, if we can get Perna to start loaning out games, and then he can loan us out that copy of HeroQuest.
You keep asking for it, man. It does not look good.
It doesn't look good.
I'm looking at my Magic 8 Ball, and it's saying, heck no.
I know. Yeah. You know, and I always remind the tell him, it's like, hey, if you ever sell that game, I'm right here.
Right over here. Contact me. Let's see here. Let me roll my Rory story cube. I got water. Water. What can I do with water? No, I got nothing. So, you know what? We've got... We games aside, we've got plans for the near future, for the summer. We've been talking about it on and off for a few weeks now, and you know we've been kind of talking about it on the side as well. But our one shots, the En-ROADS Plays summer one shots is going to kick off next month.
Yeah, I'm the first one.
Yeah, you know what? You're there with Savage Worlds.
Oh yeah, man.
I like this idea of getting these things set up. Being able to say, you know what, let's just set up a date and see who shows up. It's kind of like setting up a game night, obviously, with the hopes that multiple people will show. But it also kind of alleviates some stress on our part for game prep, because we just got to worry about the technical stuff, and then we have like minor prep for the game. It makes it a lot easier. But so you've got something already set up for Savage Worlds.
Yeah.
Right.
So I've set up a fantasy dungeon crawl. As I've told you in the past, my stuff's open ended. So if people play and like, oh man, that was awesome, and they want to make it a regular thing, I'm willing to make it a regular thing, and allow people to play with me, or you know, like on a monthly basis or a biweekly basis. It doesn't bother me. I'll make time for it, because I love role playing that much, and Savage Worlds is seriously the best gaming system ever.
I'll challenge you on that.
Hey, did you know there's only like 5 hours left of the Rifts Savage Worlds Kickstarter? Did you get in on that?
Not yet.
They already raised $500,000, man.
So why do they need my money?
Because you get access to it before everybody else world does too.
I know.
And then I'll get a free PDF of it at Gen Con, because that's what they do.
That is pretty cool. But yeah, you know what? I mean, for all you folks out there who are thinking about it, who want to jump in and be involved with a one shot, you know, we've got our schedule set up there. You can take a look at it on the Tavern. We also have a couple videos out there on our YouTube channel. Just kind of nail it down. I think the first one here was Savage Worlds is going to be on June 3rd. So we're looking
in Fantasy Grounds.
That'll be via Fantasy Grounds. Is there, if there's need for an alternative venue, that sort of thing, we can always try Hangouts. But hopefully the Fantasy Grounds will work, because you did go the extra mile and invest in the full suite. So
yeah,
anybody who wants to jump in, it's going to be free.
Yeah, and so what you do is you you take and just download the demo, and then I have the web address, thegamechurch.mythic-world.com, and I've been keeping it up so people can log into it and read the books, because what I can do is I make my library available to people, and they can read the books, learn how to build a character, learn how gameplay works, and all that before we even start. And right. then when it's time to start, their character is already created, it's there, and then I can show them how Fantasy Grounds works really lightly, and from there on, and we can just play the game real quick and spend 2-3 hours together and then have a good fellowship.
That's right. That's cool. Now, are you thinking about, and this is something I've been kind of debating, is are you thinking about recording the session, or is it just something to get together and
I think fun? On the first time, it's just going to be a get-together, because I will have a probably new players to Fantasy Grounds, right. And there's going to be a little bit of technical difficulty on that. But sure. In the future, I don't mind setting something up with you, and because you do those really wonderful graphics and things like that. So get something going.
Awesome, very awesome. And that's something that I've been thinking about too for the other sessions, as well as whether or not I want to record them. And I think the question is, I want to make sure that if folks want to play but they're a little bit hesitant because of being recorded and potentially being on the YouTube channel, I mean, to record it, that would be the only reason, is to actually get you up on the Inroads Ministries YouTube channel, the official channel. But if that's something that's going to be a roadblock for folks, then that's definitely something we can talk about and not have to do that, because it can be kind of intense, knowing that your face and your voice are going to be out there. I'm still not comfortable with doing this stuff every couple weeks, and then also doing the Inroads Play stuff. But yeah, you get used to it. So, with games, with having fun, there's also the journey. And I've heard tale that you have your ticket already set up for Gen Con, but you also have an angle towards finances.
Yes. So, dice have fueled my fury once again. offloading a lot of dice that I've gained access to over the time, with permission of the person that gave them to me. It's going to, pay for my gas to get there and pay for my food while I'm there, and any expenses I incur with parking, which is going to be a lot. So if anybody lives in Indianapolis and wants to let me park my car at their house, I will give them $5 a day.
Is that a down payment, or is that the full?
That's $5 a day. No, instead of paying $20-something for 4 days for the hotel, all the other places to park in the area. I have a friend. His name's Drew Folks. He owns the Norse Foundry, which he's not sponsoring this. I'm just telling you about how awesome he is. So he sells dice. He has. He's the guy that sells the gemstone dice and the metal dice, and then he's also now got precision metal dice. And I will be selling dice at his booth. The most perfect job for me at Gen Con is selling dice at his booth. So I'll be telling people how awesome dice are, and he'll probably end up having a big picture of me back there and have me shaking hands and signing autographs, things like that, because how popular the podcast is.
Of course. You got to represent, man. You're going to be signing babies' foreheads, that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
You got to get into it. You got to accept your fame, man. You got to accept it.
I think I'm going to spray tan beforehand and get my Trump hair on. And
oh, sweet. Sweet. You know what? I'll throw a quick aside there. Have you, on Twitter, have you seen this guy? His name Dungeons and Donalds.
Yes, I subscribe to him.
He's mixing, Donald Trump euphemisms into Dungeons and Dragons.
It's perfect.
So freaking classic.
It's perfect.
If you guys haven't seen it, go and search on Twitter for Dungeons and Donalds. You will be pleasantly surprised. So far as I can tell, There haven't been any colorful metaphors out there, to quote the name, the, to quote the Nimoy. But
make D&D pretty great again.
Yeah, it's pretty flipping crazy. So anyway, okay. Aside from that, I mean, when you told me we first got on here, we did like a pre-show. Hey, what do you want to talk about? I don't know. What do you want to talk about? Well, I don't know. What do you want? And so we got through that. But one of the topics that came up was about Gen Con and the population diversity that's going to be there this year. Something that they're really touting out there, that I think it's over 51-52% of the panels are going to be run by women. Which I, when I read it, I was like, oh, great. That's super awesome. And I thought, well, for you, it's got to be something magical because you got a daughter. So
yeah, so like, I, you know, my firstborn is a girl. Her name's Isabel, and I love her to death. And she recently asked me, said, "Dad, can you run me an RPG over the summer with my friends?" And I'm like,
"Sweet.
You mean I get to set my work computer at the table and take breaks when the phone rings to answer my? I wouldn't do it during work, but after hours,
never. He never does that during work.
Me and you and your friends are going to be in our dinner table playing Dungeons and Dragons." She said, "Yes, absolutely." You know, and that's one of the things about being a parent is getting to introduce your kids to your hobbies. One, because you get to see the joy that they go through learning and experiencing the things that you did growing up, and you get to spend more money on the hobby and use your kids as an excuse.
And you can rerun your old modules that you know by heart and see them delight in the reveals. Yeah.
What is this, Tim Moore's father?
It's Why do horrible. I keep dying, father?
Are we playing Dark Souls or something? But no, but anyway, so Gen Con, their panel is 52% women this year. And I thought it was awesome because, you know, again, I push my daughter. She is in advanced mathematics. She's advanced in science. She's interested in all these wonderful things. It's normally been a man-driven field. And now she's interested in playing these games. And, you know, when we were in high school, fellas, I just want to point out to you that we may have been the dorky ones, the not so popular ones, and we always wish we had that girlfriend or soon to be wife that had interest in the same things that we did. And I'm seeing a lot of backlash, or hearing about a lot of backlash, about this whole panel of 52% women, that they're upset that there's going to be so many women there at the panel this year, and we finally got our wish, and you all are ruining it. I'm just laying out that way.
Oh no, totally. I mean, you can paint a picture. I mean, every guy that's out there who's an adult now, who has fond memories of, you know, first rolling the bones and thinking, man, you know what? Do I? And here's where it gets funny. Do I go ahead and play a female character so that we have a female on the party? Man, that'd be so cool if we had a girl to play.
Yeah. I actually knew what it was like to be a female.
That I knew what it was like to be actually be female. And,
yeah.
But I mean, no, it's like, why? I honestly completely, coming from that background of saying, you know, the very hobby that we love almost kind of creates a stigmatism from being able to, you know, court the opposite sex. And it's like, why on earth would there be any backlash on this? Right.
I think it's also comes from the whole, you remember how, like, for the longest time, before Dungeons and Dragons got cool or Magic got cool with the kids, and people were like, this is my hobby. Why is that guy who plays football playing D&D?
Right.
You know, and
why is that Christian playing D&D? I thought that was supposed to be bad.
I know. And I think part of it's the same thing because it was my hobby. I actually see that a lot at Gen Con. I'm not Gen Con, but Dragon Con. Is when we're there at Game Church and we're up there, people walk up, so this is our place. Why are you here?
Yeah.
And I think a part of it's that was that some kids got made fun of by girls back in the day and they don't want girls playing their games.
Right.
And they just can't get over themselves. I mean, you know, women have always been into our world, guys, and I just want to point that out. They make some of the best writers. You know, like, one of my favorite, the thing that screams Dungeons and Dragons to me is Ravenloft. My favorite system for D&D.
He won't stop talking about it unless I say something, folks.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so anyway, so like one of the best authors that we've ever had for the Ravenloft books, just for the story books, was P. and Elrod. And P stands for Patricia, you know, and a lot of the ideas that we get to run these campaigns comes from like her books and other people's books and things like that. And if any of y'all played the Curse of Strahd module for 5th edition Dungeons and Dragons, well, it was based off the module that was written in 1983 by Tracy and Laura Hickman, a female. So I just wanted to point that out to you guys. They're there. They're going to be there. They've been there since the beginning. And a lot of them have taken on, like, P. and Elrod. She's taken on initials for her first name a lot of times. It's because she didn't probably didn't want people to know that it was written by a girl. Look at J.K. Rowling. That's what she did. That's why she went with J.K. And she didn't want people to know at first that it was a woman that wrote this book.
I saw an article on article that tells you how old school I am. I saw a post in Facebook from Margaret Weiss, another female contributor to the hobby, naming some of the folks that are involved, like Laura Hickman, like you mentioned, came up with the idea to introduce the story to game adventures, so i.e. Strahd. Gamers' questions to TSR and to Dragon Magazine were answered by Penny Williams and Gene Wells. And Rose Estes created and wrote the Endless Quest adventure books. I mean, at one time, all six of her books were on the bestseller list, so it's not like it was a flash in the pan or something. So, I mean, you know, there's one of the main project managers, or the project manager over at Paizo is Jessica Price. So, I mean, it's not like this is new, fellas. I think it's something to definitely be welcomed because it means we get more imagination, we get different perspectives of imagination into the hobby, and then you get awesome, wonderful things like you with your daughter being able to sit down and play games with her friends. That's amazing.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it is they're getting the respect that they're finally due. Yeah, and I guess some guys are uncomfortable with giving a woman respect, but like my daughter, though, I'm so stoked about this. And you know, if I had room to take her to Gen Con with me this year and her sit in on some of those panels, I would. But, you know, one, she's going to be in school. That's pretty much it. School's already started by then, so it'll be all right.
Nothing we can do about this.
There's nothing I can do about that. So I guess I'll just be up there all by myself with my friends. So,
and it's like about expectations, right? I mean, what is your expected role in a given society or in this industry or in this hobby? I was thinking about that too. I know it's kind of weird. I've been preparing Dungeon World, which is a heavily narrative based game. So everybody around the table is involved in the storytelling. There are some rules that are involved and the dice are going to help make decisions for you. But the dice are like an intervention between the two bookends, which are the fiction of the story. And as I was preparing this, it's low prep, and one of the things that you prepare for are called fronts. And that's kind of for your GM knowledge. It's like your little secret tome of information. And I guess when I started hearing about this, and we were talking about it earlier, it made me think about fronts and how in the game, in Dungeon World, so let's just give it a frame of reference here. In Dungeon World, it's used to help you define, you know, whether it's a group of NPCs, a city, an area, an individual. If they have an impact on the story and they're going to exercise that impact on the story, you need to know what their motivations are. Where do they fit? How do they work? Can they be changed? Are they unchanging? That sort of stuff. And it made me think about how it's great for a GM to be able to do that, to be able to say, okay, I'm going to organize my folks in this way so that when my players do something wonky, I know how these guys are going to react. I know how this different front is going to react. And it's great for a GM, like I just said, but sometimes we have certain expectations of how that group is going to react. So kind of going back to the previous topic, my expectation, because of my past, and I think you kind of agree with it a little bit, Daniel, is that we, when we were kids, we would play these games. We were kind of on the outside of the whole, you know, courtship, you know, thing and going on in high school or junior high or whatever. And, you know, it, there, to hear that more women are involved in it and that, you know, folks from all walks of life are being involved in a hobby that can bring so many people together, you know, whether it's on a board table, and you're playing Carcassonne, or if you're playing D&D or you're playing, Savage Worlds, whatever, it's the idea that you're having a shared experience and it can be from multiple perspectives. And you don't have to have an expectation of how a person is going to react. You can just sit back and enjoy the experience. And that's, I guess that's kind of why I had an expectation of how people would react to this and think, oh, they're going to totally be awesome with this. But then when we were talking earlier, I'm like, that totally breaks my expectation. It's completely opposite from what I thought.
Yeah, it breaks my heart.
Yeah. I don't quite get it. I mean, and I guess, you know, as Mike likes to say, we like to do what's called the turn, where we start talking a little bit more about matters of faith. And, you know, when I joined, I've mentioned it a few episodes ago or a while ago, that I take part in what's called Bible Study Fellowship, or BSF. It's an international organization where we basically just study sections of the Bible, whether it's one book of the Bible or it's a group of books in the Bible. And we take like 29, 32 weeks to go through it. That's about the average. Seems like a very specific average, but anyway. So during that time, you know, we're digging into the meat and potatoes of the Bible, right? And we're trying to figure out what's the context of the situation, what's happening in this particular verse, and how does that impact other areas of the Bible? How do other areas of the Bible influence that particular verse? But the one thing that's never come up in conversation is denomination. You know, like, where are you from, that sort of thing. What do you do when it comes to the church? We basically come in thinking that, you know, hey, let's say I'm a Pentecostal Baptist and everybody else is in a cult. Well, everybody else probably thinks you're in a cult too. So why are we even talking about it? Let's just get in here and talk about the Bible and just be a part of that. And for faith, and I don't know about your past experience when it comes to, you know, being in church and having folks from different denominations and not even worrying about the denomination. It's almost kind of like the antithesis of building fronts, of building those particular organizations with certain motivations. If you can get past that and actually enjoy the situation that you're in and see it for the beauty that it is, it can kind of transition, and you can transition you past those obstacles and actually see something beautiful out there.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that I've tried to instill in my parents' head as well, that they can get a lot of stuff done locally if they would just reach out to other people. And what I mean by this, guys, is that in my area, people like to be denominationally centered. So they won't work with you unless you're part of their denomination. And so for me, that's when we actually start singing, because we like to try to host events that have different denominations together. And when we do have that happen, it's really beautiful. I mean, because you have different people from different walks of life with different experiences that you weren't raised with, pretty much. And you get to learn new stories.
No, it's... I mean, kind of in a roundabout way, that's kind of what we've been talking about the whole time. I mean,
yeah.
Tie it right back to the beginning. Can you imagine, like, you know, what's your experience going to be if you're running around on a trail and you're looking for a Pokemon with your phone and it's kind of hovering in front of you as you're using the fancy augmented reality, and then you see somebody else walking along and doing the very same thing, and it's like, you know what? That person may have come from the other end of town, does something completely different in their life. But now you guys are in a shared experience right then, right there, in an instant. And it's a connection.
I'll tell you, with like Ingers as a good example, our town, we have such a concentration of portals in our town for Ingers that we have people that will drive like just to hack our town 90 miles. And so any given time when I'm walking around town playing my game, I have people walk up because they hear my phone going off, and they'll be from like Knoxville or, you know, Chattanooga or up from Virginia down to visit. And they're like, hey, man, I've never met you before, you know, and I usually introduce myself and walk around with them and show them how the best laid out pattern. But it's just the fact that it draws people together. So. And yeah. It's just what we do draws people together too. I mean, if you go to the comic shops to play your game, you know, everybody's had different experiences in life, and they just bring something new to the table.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it could be a board game. It could be Pokemon Go. It could be, you know, going to Gen Con. It could be role-playing games, whatever. If the idea is bringing people together, and that can happen around a table. It could happen in our one-shots where we're across the internet. I'm going to be running a one-shot here. It'll be already done by the time this episode drops. I'll be running one for another group. And we are literally all around the world. I have one guy in Norway, one guy in Singapore, another one that's in New York. I mean, we are just hands around the world, man. It's crazy.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, it totally is. And that's the... And that's the real goal of this ministry, is to reach out, bring people together, love on them, have fun at the table, show people that this hobby is not just about passing time. It's about shared experiences. It's about saying, you know what, I want to build a story with you, or I want to play this game with you because I want to learn more about who you are. And then after the game's done, let's sit down and have some dinner. Let's, you know, go grab a couple drinks or whatever it is. Let's grab some coffee.
Chinese.
Eat some Chinese food. Heck yeah, that's right. You know what? Ironically enough, my Rory story cube is facing upward and there's a Chinese arch on there. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I mean, and I'll point out that the thing that I like about the virtual tabletops that we run is that we will get to play games with people that we never thought we'd ever get to play. I mean, like, when did you ever think you'd play a role-playing game with somebody in Singapore? I mean,
I think the only reason I could think about that is if I actually went to Singapore, and I don't think I'd be thinking about role-playing games. I'd be thinking, holy crud, I'm in Singapore.
I know. But yet, now there's someone that can speak English in Singapore that wants to play with you as their DM. I mean, it's just nuts. So, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. I mean, and I'm not trying to take away from the experience of the table, but, I mean, these applications are out there for us to use, and they're great. I mean, like, you know, being an adult, it's hard for me to go to the comic shop every week to play with these guys, I'm going to start doing next month. I'm gonna finally join the Pathfinder Society and get to meet.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I've joined, but I get to start playing in it, so may build some new relationships there.
That's a big investment, man.
Yeah.
That's a big investment.
I mean, it's rough because, like, if you don't have that book, you can't play with a rule out of that book.
That's right.
So.
That's right. And you know, and that's kind of helpful, too, because, like, well, no, I take that back. That's kind of the opposite of helpful, because what happens if somebody over there has occult mysteries and you don't, and then the other one over there has, you know, ultimate combat, and it's like, wait a minute.
You've got to go buy it.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, it's neat. I mean, and I've got a lot of friends that play it. So, and I reconnected with them on Free Comic Book Day too. People that I hadn't talked to since high school, and they were there, and I just struck up conversation. They're like, "Yeah, man, come on down, play with us." You know, we play every other week. I'm like, "Oh, okay. Well, let me get through this month, and I'll do it." So, yeah.
Well, I know with usually it's a triumvirate. So we have like a certain amount of time that we're missing now from Mr. Perna, but rather than dragging on, I think that we want to go ahead and close it out when it's nice and sweet. Because I think we held up pretty well under the pressure.
Yes. Under pressure.
Under pressure. Okay, no singing. Perna said no singing. He actually said that before we got off the call earlier. No, he didn't. All right. No, he didn't. Good scene, man. This would be cool. So before we get canceled because we're using copyrighted property, how can folks find out more about you there, Daniel?
Well, if you want to find out more about me, get on the good old Facebook there and just look me up, Daniel Fisher. If you need an email address to find me at, it's daniel.l.fisher@gmail.com. That's not the email address I use on Facebook. You have to actually look me up by my name on Facebook. And that's pretty much the only communication I use.
And definitely look him up on Facebook, folks, because we'll start rolling out details about the June 3rd one-shot for Savage Worlds as we start getting closer to the date. So get excited about it. Jump Yay. In there. Have some fun, man. That's going to be good. For myself, you can find me on In the Tavern, Jeff Romo. You'll find me there on Facebook. You can email me at jeff@inroadsministries.com. You can also find out more about what we do at inroadsministries.com. Let's see, what else? I got to remember all my crazy social media stuff. Twitter at inroads and also at GSPKHEEGAN. So GSP Keegan, that's me. You can follow my updates on the Inroad Plays Summer of One-Shots. So we'll be able to get you some information about those. So you can tell we can get caught up on Inroads Plays Summer One-Shots. We'll be scheduling them. We have June 3rd for Savage Worlds. And then we have, let's see here, July 15th for Dungeon World. Let's see here, August 12th is going to be Stars Without Numbers. And then September 16th will be Guild Dungeons & Dragons 5th Edition. So keep your eyes out on the Tavern. We'll be posting out more information. And obviously take a look at our YouTube channel where we'll be posting intro videos for these games just so that folks can feel comfortable playing them. And take advantage of getting onto Fantasy Grounds, getting an idea of what that game system is like or the table virtual table system is like. Because it is pretty sweet, it is pretty awesome, and you'll have fun. So, as we're wont to do, let's close it out and remember that God is a game master, and no matter how the dice fall, the game plays